death. The Almighty Lord, the Everlasting, made it the destiny of all His slaves. It is a door through which all must pass through. However, the dwelling to which this door leads to cannot be explained or described in words, nor imagined in the mind. It can only be understood through divine revelation. Death does not make a distinction. It does not discern between rich and poor, old and young, healthy or unhealthy, muscles or pencil neck, fat or skinny, black or white, tall or short. However, death does distinguish between belief and disbelief, between a believer and a disbeliever, between darkness and light. For death for a believer is smooth, opulent, comfortable, pleasant, beautiful. It's a release from prison. It's a freedom from distress, from anxiety, from depression, a freedom from catastrophe. For wallahi, the believer will never, ever attain true comfort, true happiness, luxury, until he meets the one that owns him, until he meets his Lord, until he meets his Creator, until he meets Allah Ta'ala. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, that the believer will never ever attain comfort until he meets Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma inna nuhibbu liqa'ak fa ahibba liqa'ana. Oh Allah, we love the meeting for you, or with you. So please, love the meeting with us. Oh Allah Ta'ala. Death, on the other hand, for a disbeliever. Wallahi, the word itself makes your hair stand up. Wallahi, the word itself explodes your goosebumps. The word itself is scary to say. Therefore, a disbeliever is terrifying, horrifying, horrendous, frightening, awful, scary, fearsome, dreadful, shocking. It is no other than a reign of terror. Yusrallahu al-afiyah. As our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us in a narration collected by Abu Dawood and Ahmad and others on the authority of Al-Bura'i ibn Azib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that when the disbelieving slave is about to depart this worldly life and enter the hereafter, strong, hulking angels from the heavens with black faces, with dark faces descend, carrying with them a rough, tough fabric from the hellfire. They sit away from the disbelieving soul at the limit of his eyesight. And then the angel of death descends. The angel of death descends and sits by this disbelieving servant's head and says, O wicked, malicious soul, a wicked, malicious soul who inhabited a wicked, malicious body. Depart. Extract. Come out in a condemned state. Come out to evil tidings of burning, boiling fluids and dirty wound discharge. Depart to a Lord who is not pleased with you. Depart to a Lord who is angry with you. Depart to a Lord who is not happy to meet you. Naturally, when the soul hears this, he does not want to come out. Does not want to pack his bags like the believer did and quickly derive, come out, issue himself to his Lord. No. He becomes terrified, scared, dissipated in the body. He grabs, he cleans, he grasps whatever he can inside that body. Self-recrimination, grief, regret, fear confronts him. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تُفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ Say the death which you flee from. Where is he going to go? What's he going to grab? To the heart? To the lungs? To the intestines? To the ribs? To his body? What can he grab to? There is no fleeing from death. The angel of death grabs the soul and forcefully rips this disbelieving soul out of his body, causing his nerves, his arteries, his veins to burst. Just like pulling out of wet wool a metal piece, a piece of metal. You've ever tried to put a piece of metal with wet wool and tried to pull it out, and it becomes hard to pull out. Very hard. And there's pain. You can even feel the pain in it if this was alive. It comes out. And as soon as it comes out, all the angels between the heavens and the earth, all the angels in the heavens, curse this soul. You know what cursing this soul means? Cursing this soul means the rejection of Allah's mercy. They're asking Allah Ta'ala to not have mercy on this soul. Where's all the Saturday nights, the Friday nights, the enjoyment, the alcohol, the gambling, the fornication, illicit promiscuity, sexual promiscuity? Where is it all now? Where is it all now? All the enjoyment. Wallahi, as soon as he sees the angel of death descending upon him, he forgets everything. Everything is gone. All the enjoyment, all the good nights, all the good days, all the money, all the ladies, all the drugs vanished instantly. No more. As though he did not enjoy not even a minute of a second. Not a second, a minute of a second. Then the angel of death, as soon as it grabs the soul, the other angels do not leave it in his hand, not even for the blinking of an eye. They take the soul, this disbelieving, wicked, foul, stinky soul, and place it in the tough, rough fabric from hellfire. And then what happens? There emanates, there derives, there extracts, there issues from that soul the most repugnant odor of a decaying cadaver that ever existed on the face of this earth. You know, when you go past a rotten animal in its early days, still being eaten by maggots and worms and whatever, it stinks, does it not? When the sun hits it, the rays, and it sort of melts it. How does it smell? Wallahi, you could not stand that smell. You almost vomit. This is no comparison to what this smells like. And then they ascend with it towards the heavens. And the Almighty Lord, He mentions, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ If you could only see, our believers, when the angels take the souls of those who disbelieved at death, how they smite their backs and faces, saying to them, taste the punishment of the blazing fire. This is because of what your hands have earned, what your hands have forwarded. You had the truth, the fact, the reality, the Quran, the Prophet in front of you. Why did you not accept him? Why did you not make the Quran your life? Isn't it here? Isn't it before us? Are we not able currently to open the Quran and listen to a prohibition and abstain or a commandment and fulfill? We have the ability. So why do you not do it? But it will be too late when you die. This is because of what your hands have earned, and verily, indeed, surely Allah is not unjust to His slaves. They ascend towards the heavens. They confront, they meet gatherings of angels. As they pass by these gatherings, what is this foul, they say, smelling soul? This wicked soul? The angels reply, who are holding it? He is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, using the worst names ever used for him in the life of this world. Then they reach the gate of the lowest heaven, and they seek admission. And does it enter? Does this foul, wicked soul enter the heavens? The heavens are pure. They're clean. They're not abominated. Allah does not let this soul, dirty, abominate the heavens. He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, we cited, لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. Allahu Akbar. Negative, rejected. Never. The gates of heavens will close for them. It will not open for them, Allah says. And they will never, ever enter paradise. Until when? Until when? Until a camel is able to pass through the eye of a needle. What a beautiful example. Until the day that the camel is allowed or is able to pass through the eye of a needle. We can barely even put the string through the needle. You know, when you stand there or sit there and try at the pillow, you put your, trying to put it through, and you are unable to put it through. Imagine a camel going through this. Camel the size of us 10 times. The Bactrian camel for two humps. In other words, they'll be rejected from entering paradise and from entering the heavens. Thus, Allah Ta'ala says, register my servants' records in a sijin. What's a sijin? It's a place most low, the bottom of the earth, the lowest of the earth. And when it gets registered, Allah Ta'ala says, return him back to this earth. For indeed, minha khalaqnakum, wa fiha nu'idukum, wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. From it we created you, and to it we will return you, and from it once again we will raise you. But how was he taken back to the earth? Is he taken in five-star sort of hospitality? In silk? In comfort? No. No. He's plunged, thrown, casted down without any regard. Thrown down back to his body. As the Prophet Muhammad said to us here, recited, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ صَحِيقٍ. And whoever joins partners with Allah Ta'ala, it is as though he has been plunged, thrown from the heavens, whereby birds snatch him off, or the wind drives him, casts him to a remote place. So he's thrown back into his body, and by now, the body is washed, it's shrouded, and being carried on the shoulders of men to the grave for the burial. And here, the narration mentions that this disbelieving servant says, what? Woe to me, where are they taking me? Where are they taking you? They are taking you to that black hole. They are taking you where? To the black hole, which you have been informed of and informed and informed, as we are doing now. Day after day you are warned about your death. Where are they taking you? To the grave, the interspace, the life between the two worlds. That's where they're taking you. Where's your mother? Where's your brother? Where's your ally? Where's your bodyguard? Where's your security? Where's your good deeds? Where's your good deeds? That's the only thing that can help you, by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So they're taken to the grave. The body's in the grave. The soul reunites with the body, and he hears the thumping of his companion shoes, leaving the grave, and thus begins the ultimate examination, the ultimate test. Where's the HSC now? Where is the degrees? Where is the thesis of the PhD or the master's? That's all balut. This is the test. This is the test. That's how Allah want my child to get a prestige degree from a prestige university. I want him to be a doctor, a professor, a scientist, when he does not know anything about Islam. Nothing about Islam, but secular, tabarakallah. Huh? You know, take your head off for him. Tfah ala ha'ula al-nas. Tfah alayhum. He hears the thumping of his companion shoes leaving the grave. And then two angels, bluish, blackish, stern angels of a severe reprimand, named Munkar wa Nakir, shake the body. They make him sit upright. Get up. He will sit up in a state of fear, terror. Scared. Imagine yourself, guys. Sisters. Imagine yourself. This is not a fairy tale. This is reality. It's a fact. Imagine yourself on that day. Wallahi, we are going to confront this. Munkar wa Nakir. We are going to confront them before our very eyes. This is not a fairy tale. This is what's going to happen to all of us. They confront him. Who is your Lord? They will ask him. Who is your Lord? Ah, la adri. I do not know, he says. He doesn't know. La darayta wa la talayt. You do not know, nor did you recite. What is your religion? Ah, la adri. I do not know. Who was the man that was sent amongst you? Oh, I heard someone say some such and such, I'll set him. And then it will be said, you did not know, nor did you read about him, whereby he will be hit with a metal hammer, causing him to scream in severe pain, whereby all creation hears him except man and jinn. And thus, the Almighty Lord here answers or announces the test result of this examination from the heavens. My servant lies! Imagine that failure. Imagine your Lord saying, my servant lies! Brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, is that what you want to hear in the grave? Your Lord calling out from the heavens, my servant lies! Is that what we want to hear? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, no. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, no. And you have the chance that you can make that answer. My servant tells the truth. You have the ability still until this day because you're still alive. Alhamdulillah. My servant lies. So spread for him. Provide for him furnishing from hellfire. Clothe him from hellfire. And open for him a door from hellfire. Thus its heat and fierce hot wind reaches him. And then his grave becomes contracted, constrained, restricted. All around him, causing his ribs to break. I don't know if I can do it like this. But not as easy as this, guys. Not as easy as this. Wallahi, brothers and sisters. This is the day to come. And then appears before him a man with a very ugly appearance, repulsive clothes, and a foul smell. He says to him, I am here to give you evil tidings that will displease you. This is the day that you have been promised. How many times do you go to a disbeliever and say, brother, this is the truth. This is Islam, the way of life. And he mocks and laughs and jokes. He'll remember this day. On this day, he'll remember all this. Because when he remembers this, it gives him more remorse. More sort of grief. And then he says to this believer, evil tidings from Allah Ta'ala be to you too. Who are you? Your face is one that brings evil. He says, I am your evil deeds. I am your Friday and Saturday nights. I am your gambling, your alcohol, your drugs, your theft, your fornication, your obscenity, your indecency. I am the evil that you performed. Wherever he went, he ate like an animal. He slept like an animal. He drank like an animal. He looked like an animal. He acted like an animal. Wallahi, the animals are better than him. The animals glorify, praise their Lord, while this person glorified and praised this world. He was a slave of a dirham or dinar. He was a slave of no other than paper. SubhanAllah. Brothers and sisters, this is, say, a $100 bill, the largest bill in Australia. Let it be a $1 billion bill. This bill, $1 billion, is just going to save you from hellfire? And how can a person be a slave to a paper? A piece of paper, it can be torn, destroyed. How can a man or a lady be a slave to a paper? Worth nothing, nothing at all. Think, the money that you are given is only to get you through this life. Not so you can hoard and store worldly possession day after day. Every cent that you are given is an examination for you. It's going to be either for or against you. Those who just will always store, hoard, gather. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Oh, my children. Oh, my children, I'm a mustaqbal for my children, they say. Load of lies. Load of garbage. And then a door in the direction of paradise is open for him. This is the disbeliever now. A door in the direction of what? Paradise is open for him. He views its bounties, its comfort, its luxury, its beauty, its sweet aroma comes to him. He views it. And then he is told that Allah Ta'ala has deprived you from this. So another door is open for him from where? To hellfire. From the hellfire. And he views its various parts crushing each other. And then a blind, deaf and dumb person is appointed to him. Carrying in his hand is a sledgehammer. Don't try to imagine a sledgehammer that we got in this world. A sledgehammer. This is in the grave, creatures, in the grave. In the grave. Don't look at the grave only, say, 6 foot down or whatever, or 1 meter by two or whatever. No. You cannot comprehend what is happening to this person now. This is a life of the interspace. We do not know exactly how this is happening, the size and so forth. This is the knowledge of the unseen. The only time it will be seen to you is when you die. SubhanAllah. The only time it's going to be seen to us when we die. They say that people have come back from the dead. From the dead. Oh, I saw tunnels. Oh, I saw this. Load of garbage. Oh, people of infidelity. They are infidels. Not worth a penny. And then this person who is appointed to him, carrying a sledgehammer in his hand. That sledgehammer, the narration mentions, if he hit a mountain, it will cause it to fall like dust. This sledgehammer. So it's not going to be like this fault. You need to put a star post in the ground. You can't even hit it into the ground. Unless you got muscles, 21-inch arms or something. So this person is hit with this sledgehammer. It causes him to be dust. It causes this disbeliever to turn to dust. And then Allah Ta'ala restores his body as it was before. And he gets hit again with this sledgehammer. And he shrieks, he cries, he screams. Whereby all creation hear him except man and jinn. It was mentioned that the predecessors, whenever the animal was constipated, they would take him to the disbelieving people's graves. Why? Because they will hear the terror, the punishment that these graves conceal. And thus, you know when they have colic, animals, especially horses. And when they hear the punishment, they let it all go down, the dropping, as though they've had nothing before. The constipation goes out of the fear that they hear from the graves. And then when he sees its evils, he says, oh Allah, do not establish the hour. In his in punishment. However, he says what? Do not establish the hour. Why? Because he knows what awaits him is much, much, much more graver than that which he is currently in. This is the soul of a disbeliever. Last week we heard the soul of the believer. Isn't there a huge comparison? But what about those who die as major sinners? The believers who die as a major sinner without repenting. Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari in his collection mentions to us a beautiful narration on the authority of Samara ibn Jundub that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will often inquire from his companions, did any one of you see a dream last night? So they will narrate to him what dreams that they saw. One day he approached them and said, I will tell you a dream I saw last night. He said, two men came to me last night in my dream. And we know that the dreams of the prophets are truthful because shaitan cannot approach them even while they're in their sleep. He said, two men came to me in my dream last night and said, come with us. A truthful dream. So I went with them until we came to a sacred land. We came upon a man lying on his back on the ground with another man standing over him with a boulder, a huge rock in his hand. The man would throw that rock over that man's head and cause it to split open. So the rock will roll away, and the man standing who threw it will go to retrieve it. When he came back, he found the man's head restored as it was before. And again, he will throw it at him and throw it and throw it. May Allah be exalted, said Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who are these two? They said, come on, come on. We proceeded until we came upon a man sitting and another man standing over him with an iron hook in his hand. He would approach the man sitting, go to the side of his face, place the hook in the corner of his mouth, and rip it to the back of his head, ripping his nose as well, the side of his nose and the eye, all back to his head. And then he'll go to the other side. He'll place it in that corner of the mouth. He'll rip then that side to the back of his head. And then he will go back to his original place where he started from, and by then it would have been restored as it was before. And he will do the same thing as he did the first time. He said, may Allah be exalted. Who are these two? They said, come on, come on. We proceeded until we came to a hole that resembled a baking pit. Narrow on top and wide on the bottom. We heard cries, screams, shouts coming from this hole. So we went and saw what is in this hole. We looked inside and saw naked men and women. Beneath them was a raging fire. Whenever the fire flared, the people screamed and rose with the fire, almost falling out of the pit. And when it subsided, they went back to the bottom of the pit. I said, may Allah be exalted, Muhammad. Who are these people? They said, come on, come on. We proceeded until we came to a river of blood. A river of blood. In the middle of that river, there was a man swimming. Well, on the bank of the river, there was another man who had piled around him, gathered around him, many rocks. The man would swim for a while, and then he would approach the man on the bank, trying to exit the river. He opens his mouth. The man on the bank throws in his mouth a rock, forcing him back to his original position, the center of the river. Again, it happens. The same thing. May Allah be exalted. Who are these two? Come on, come on. We proceeded until we came to a garden, dense with plantation, with all sorts of spring flowers, and a very large tree in its center. Near the stem of the tree, there was a large, tall man, so tall that I could barely see his head in the sky. Around him, there was the greatest number of children I have ever seen. I said, who are they? They said, come on, come on. Near the tree, there was another man who was the most ugliest, hateful man I have ever seen in appearance. Before him was a fire, which he himself was kindling and trotting around, running around it. I said, who is this man? They said, come on, come on. The tree, he says, was the most beautiful tree I have ever seen. They instructed me, climb it. So we ascended the tree until we came to a beautiful town. A town like I have never seen before. We came to the gate of this town and requested admission. The gate was opened. We were met by old and young men with one side of their faces, the most ugliest to behold, while the other side, the most beautiful to behold. My two companions said to these men, go plunge, go dive in the river. A river was flowing by, whose water was milk white in color. So they did. These men, with one side ugly, the other side beautiful, they plunged, they dived in the river, they came back to Muhammad and his two companions, and they were the most beautiful, handsome to be. Their ugliness disappeared. We proceeded, he said, until we came to a better and more beautiful town. And then I said to them, Muhammad Sallam, from the beginning of the night, we have seen many places, many amazing things. What is all of this? They said, now we shall tell you. As for the man that was lying on the ground, with his head being smashed repeatedly, he is the man that Allah taught the Quran. Listen, brothers and sisters, these are the major sinners from amongst the Muslims. He was a man who Allah taught the Quran. However, he slept and neglected it during the night. He did not implement it during the day. He abandoned the Quran and slept through his prescribed prayers. How many of us today read the Quran? Memorize the Quran. Some of us memorized all the Quran. But he lives a life just like a kafir. Does not even know what the Quran mentions. He reads a verse, does not implement. He reads a verse, does not understand. As for the man whose nose, whose mouth and eyes were being ripped to the back of his head, he is the one who is a liar. He would leave his house in the morning spreading lies which circulated far and wide in all directions. Lying, brothers and sisters, is not an attribute of a Muslim. It is hypocrisy, a sign of hypocrisy, yarhamakallah. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us in a narration collected by Bukhari and Muslim, that the signs of a hypocrite is three. Even if he prays and fasts and claims to be a Muslim, when he speaks, he lies. When he promises, he breaks his promise. When he is entrusted to something, he betrays that trust. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud further emphasized this, the ugliness of this sin. He said, a person continues to lie, and elaborate on these lies. You know, you get people that start lying, and the lie that they made, they elaborate on it. They increase it. The lie could be he's wearing a red hat. Oh, and then he's wearing a blue suit. And then he's wearing this. It's elaborated on this lie. He says, this person, a black spot appears on his heart. And it expands and expands and expands until it blackens, it darkens the whole heart. We are not liars, brothers and sisters. Muslims do not lie. Muslims guard their tongue. They purify their tongue, speaking only that which Allah loves. We are not hypocrites. We are not disbelievers. They are the liars, not us. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day should speak good or remain silent. You only speak when you need to speak. Silence is peace. Silence is integrity. You get many people today that in the cities and gatherings, they want to be the leader of the pack. They want to speak and let no one else speak. By them thinking that if they speak, they are dominating the gathering. Have you not noticed this? Well, the good person is the one that keeps silent. Because everything you say is registered, recorded either for or against you. And how many of us joke, which consists of lies, to make people laugh? How many are those people out there that joke just to make people laugh? The Prophet said to us, woe be to him, woe be to him, woe be to him. The person who jokes, says jokes, consisting of lies in order to make people laugh. Back to the narration. As for the naked men and women in the pit, the naked men and women who rose with the flare and subsided when it subsided, they are men and women who dealt or were involved with zina, fornication. Nasrallahu al-afiyah. One of the most filthiest, dirtiest of abominations on the face of this earth. Zina, nasrallahu al-afiyah. The most dangerous, destructive, the most greatest of all crimes on the face of this earth after shirk and killing is the act of zina, fornication, sexual promiscuity. Why did Islam prohibit zina? Why? The preservation of the purity of the Islamic society, the protection of the Muslims' honor and dignity. Does not zina bring disgrace, shame, embarrassment to the family? Do not homes become shattered and destroyed? The society as a whole collapses. Good behavior, character vanishes, and thus leaving the door wide open for what? The most dangerous diseases on the face of this earth. Be careful, brothers and sisters, from these. This blessing that Allah gave you. These two eyes, they're the greatest blessing. However, they can be the most dangerous of senses. They are the windows for the body to the world. They are the windows for the body to the world. Just like a room, if you open the windows, what do you see? Outside. If you close the windows, you cannot see outside. The human body. If you open the windows, you open them. When you close them, you've closed them to the world. And everything begins with the eyes, which in turn affects the heart. So be careful of the gaze of your vision. And today, nowadays, we can say that immorality is spread. Satan and his forces, his soldiers, have made sin easy. The spread of tabarruj, wanton display, the increase of the mixing between sexes, the popularity of immoral magazines and lewd films, the increase of travel to corrupted countries, prostitution and so forth. We ask the Almighty Lord to shower upon us His mercy, His blessings, to protect us from immoral behavior, to purify our hearts, to keep our private parts chaste, and to put a barrier between us and that which is haram. Back to the narration. As for the man that was swimming in the blood of river, being fed by rocks every time he tried to exit the river, he is a man who consumed riba. You don't even want to say this word. Do you like saying it, Bilal? Do you like saying it, Hajj? It's a word that you do not want to say. Wallahi, you do not want to say. In the whole Quran, from A to Z, the whole Quran, from Al-Fatiha to An-Nas, Allah Ta'ala did not declare war on anyone directly except the one who is involved with riba. Is this not sufficient to explain the abhorrence of this evil, filthy deed in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? Riba is haram directly or indirectly in any way, shape or form. Whether you are the main man in the party, the middleman or the facilitator, you are all cursed. Just by witnessing you, the riba, you are cursed. SubhanAllah. Just by witnessing it, you are cursed. And you get these people today, oh, we are in the West. We're trying to do a thesis that riba in Western civilization is a necessity for. Allahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you do not know. Did not Allah know? And of course He did. How we are living today? What you're trying to say, that the law allows us today living under kufr umbrella, abominated, filthy umbrella, and allows us to take riba? Attaqillaha azza wa jal, and abandon this filthy, abominated act. To further emphasize its ugliness, its filthiness, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in a narration collected by Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, riba is of 73 stages, types, the least it being as abhorrent as a man committing intercourse with his mother. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, why would you want to even think about it after this? Leave the war between you and Allah. Look at this hadith. Remember the grave and a disbeliever. Remember this grave. The black ditch. Is that river going to help you? Is that mansion going to help you? Is that beautiful car going to help you? Is your helicopter going to help you or your plane? No. No. Abandon this abominated, filthy, dirty thing. It's scum, riba. It's scum. To further elaborate, to further illustrate its ugliness, Abdullah ibn Handala, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mentions in a beautiful narration collected by Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen to this, brothers and sisters. And if anyone after this still believes it's halal, take him to the mental institution. Listen to this. Knowingly consuming 1 dirham of a riba, 1 dirham of riba is worse for a man than committing 36 times adultery. A narration by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You might as well, that's what the scholars have said, that those that work as security for a bank, it is better, they said, better for them to work security at a brothel. At a brothel, it's better for them than to work security for a bank. Because you are witnessing the accursed place. And you are helping them or aiding them, assisting them to their riba transactions. Let us go back to the narration. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the tall man that stood next to the tree, that is Ibrahim, the children around him, they were the children that died according to the fitrah. The fitrah is the innate nature, the pure and clean nature according to which all people are born on before the influence of their societies or their upbringing. In other words, the children that were born on Islam and remained Muslims because they did not reach the age of accountability. And here the companions interjected and said, Ya Rasulullah, the children of the disbelievers as well? Look at this, listen to this statement, very important. The children of the disbelievers as well? He said, the children of the disbelievers as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ameen, Allahumma ameen. Inshallah, they are for among the people of paradise. Seeing they have not attained the age of accountability. As for the man that was ugly, with the most hateful appearance, he had a fire before him, which he himself was kindling and running around. He is Malik, the guardian, the gatekeeper of H-E-L-L, hell. Wallahi, when you hear the word Malik, it scares you. A narration mentions, ever since Malik was created, he has never, ever smiled. Never. SubhanAllah. He has never, ever smiled. And in severe desperation, the people of hellfire, they will cry out to Malik, Ya Malik! لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. They will call out, Oh Malik, let your Lord, call your Lord to put an end to us. He says, you stay surely as you are, eternally. As they are, Ya Ustaz Abdullah, with their turf as big as the size of Mountain Uhud, with their skin as thick as 3 nights' journey, their seat in hellfire, the distance between Mecca and Medina. They will cry, they will sob, they will sigh, they will weep, and they will cry and cry until there's no more tears to cry. No more tears to cry, the people of hellfire. And then they will cry what? Blood. They will cry blood until it becomes similar to the state of canals, whereby if you put a ship on it, it will flow on their faces. And they will eat, but the food will not nourish them. Nor would it relieve them from the pangs of hunger or suffering. And they would drink, but they would drink nothing but hamim, boiling water, or nothing but ghassaq, which is fluids of pus and blood and internals oozing from the skins and bodies. You know how the body melts in hellfire? That will be their drink. That will be the drink. This is not a fairy tale. This is in the Quran. Let us go back to the narration. As for the land that was so beautiful, it is the land of the common believers. Those who confronted you with some part of their face beautiful and the other ugly, they are the believers who mixed their good deeds with their bad deeds, and Allah forgave them. As for the town that you saw after that, which was better and more beautiful than the first one, that is the town for whom? Allahu Akbar. For whom? What is the pinnacle of Islam? What is the greatest act in Islam? They are the land, the town for the Mujahideen, Ash-Shuhada, Shuhada, brothers and sisters. Brothers, the land for Shuhada. What else is in there, Ya Mishab, Isbah? What else is in there? In that beautiful land. 72 wives. Allahumma ja'alna min ha'ula ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ja'alna min ha'ula ya Rabbil Alameen. Not only a beautiful and gorgeous land, but there is other things that are gorgeous in there too. And then he said, as for me, I am Jibril, and this is Mikael. These are two companions. I am Jibril, he said, and this is Mikael. And this is the Garden of Eden. Over there is your residence. Then he was told to look above him. He looked above him and he saw a castle that looked like a white cloud. And he was said to him, this is your dwelling. He said, can I enter it? They said, no. There is still a portion of your life you have not fulfilled. When you fulfill that portion, you shall surely enter it. We ask the Almighty Lord to bless us. And we finish our little talk with the verse from Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse number 31. Ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah wa aminu bih yaghfir lakum min dunubikum wa yujirkum min adhabin alim. Oh, our people, respond with obedience to Allah's caller, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, Muslims, listen. Respond with obedience to Allah's caller, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believe in him. This is your salvation now, Allah is saying. And believe in him, that is in the Quran and Sunnah, that which has been sent to him. For Allah will forgive your sins, and he will save you from a painful punishment, a blazing fire on a day of resurrection. We declare, all of us, that we have listened, we have obeyed, we understood our mission. And we ask the Almighty Lord to forgive our sins, to accept our repentance, and to place us in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. For indeed, brothers and sisters, there is no life except the life of the hereafter. Wa akhura da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be talking about the grave. And thus, after that, inshallah, we'll go beyond that. And that only time will tell.